Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day. How are you? This is Bishop Randy Dean. I'm here with you for another episode of Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I believe all lesser values than love slide easily into the morass, the dark hole, the cave of BS, which is bait and switch. So don't bait and switch people. Don't be shaming people. Don't be welcoming with one hand and then slapping with the other. Be a person of a straightforward one path of life, and that is to love. No one anywhere, no one in your life, no one in my life is beyond the love of God, nor are they beyond our call to love. Love your enemies, Jesus said. Love your neighbors. So between enemies and neighbors, there's nothing left. We're just on this planet to be lovers of all. First of all, to love God, be loved by God, and then to know that when we are loved by the love of God, then we are able to love others. So here we are. I'm happy to be with you for another episode. We're at this for 4 years plus and never running out of content. I tell you, this is what I talk about every week is love. One word, love, L-O-V-E. It deserves so much more attention than what it has been given in the past by theologians, philosophers, thinkers of all types. Love is the answer no matter what the question. So here on the No BS Bishop Alive to Love, we do a couple of things as a matter of routine, not in a routine manner, but as a routine to keep us steady, to keep us between the lines on the road, right? So here we are with another opportunity to together recite the Love's Creed that I wrote about 10 years ago for a New Year's resolution, but it turned out to be so much more than that for me. And then I decided this sounds like a creed and we should make that a part of the broadcast. So every week I share this with you. I'll go through it in total one time. I'll come back through it another time and offer it to you like the vows at a wedding altar. Okay? So here we go. Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there it is in total. Now let's go back through it. I'll give it to you in short bursts, and you repeat after me. Take it in. I mean, let it soak into your thought and to your heart while we say it together. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. If you'd like a copy of this, please send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail. It would be my pleasure to send you a copy of this so you could put it on your computer, you could put it on your screensaver, put it in your phone, write it on a 3x5 card, whatever it takes to have it at the ready, at your reach, so that day by day, you could recite this. I try at least once a day to remind myself of love's creed. It's, as I said, I wrote it for myself over 10 years ago to be a solid New Year's resolution. And it's more than that now. It's a lifetime resolution. It's a lifetime of, this is what I'm alive for. This is how I'm living, and I'm going to continue to live. Well, I want to go after today. This broadcast will be a bit of a catch-all on some of the terms and the terminologies that we throw into love, as if it was fully assumed by all humankind that these are the ways that we see love. And I understand what we're trying to do. You know, when you have a topic as enormous as love, we try to simplify it, but the problem is we end up oversimplifying it and devaluing it, in my opinion. We need the highest of all values for this treasure we call love. Brene Brown said one time, she was in a meeting with researchers, and she said, How many of you agree that love is the highest value of humankind? And she said, there's about 3,000 people there. Just about everybody raised their hand. And then she said, And how many of you have done any significant research on love? She said, there, out of that 3,000, there might have been a half a dozen people raised their hand. Now, and then she said, okay, now how many of you would be willing to walk out of this auditorium and devote your life to lovelessness, to not being loved or giving love anymore for the rest of your life? And she said, not a single hand went up out of 3,000 people. And her point there was, look, if this is so important, if this is so valuable, if this is the highest value of humankind, and we as researchers and sociologists and philosophers and statisticians are here to complete the task of research, if we're not committed to this high value at a level that says we better dig deep into the gold that's in this, she said, something's missing here. We've got to change this trajectory. She's absolutely right. So I am here to do that, to make sure that we're digging as deep as we know how, as much as I know how, and I don't think I've got it all figured out by any stretch, but I am here to make sure that we are, we're just reaching for a better grasp, a better idea on a daily basis. Of course, it needs to be practical. But I think practicality grows out of foundations. So, for instance, you know, if I'm a good cook, and I know how to make a good meal for my family, well, there's a lot of practicality to that. I've got to make sure I got the groceries, the ingredients. I've looked at recipes, and I know how much of this and how much of that I've got to have. So the practicalities are absolutely necessary. And yet, with all the practicalities, I could have all that recipe list on the table. My counter could be full of all the pots and pans I need to mix all of those ingredients. But if I don't have a real grasp of what I'm doing, I'm going to make a mess out of all that practicality. So it requires practicality, but it requires experience and research and thought and practice, practice, practice. I know many people will say, of course I love people, but I don't want to talk about it too much, and I don't need to have to, you know, study or think too much about it. And I understand what they're going after, but I'm just going to push back on you a little bit if that's you and say, come on, if this is such a high value, and no matter what your personality type may be, perhaps a little more reading, perhaps a little more, you know, listening to somebody like, I don't know, me, the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, perhaps a little more practice at this thing we call love, to take it beyond the simplistic or ordinary, to rescue love from the reductionism that comes. You know, I think one of the sadnesses of our society right now is that everything's been reduced to a 10-second social media post. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm on social media plenty because I want to keep a light shining there, especially on Facebook and other places. But I think the danger is we can reduce a lot of our thoughts down to little sound bites that that cause a reduction of our attentiveness. So I want to challenge you to be more attentive. Read a book. Don't just read a soundbite. Read a book. And I know books are challenging. I love to be challenged. I want to be challenged. I've written a book. I've had a book published. I've got another one or two in my computer. I'm looking at my computer right now. But I understand that if I let my brain get lazy, like if I let my arms and legs get misused or disused, well, that my brain's going to say, I'm done. I don't want to try anymore. Well, I'm challenging you here to try, to give it more of an attentiveness. So I want to give you a challenge here. I want you to define love, not from my perspective, don't take my definitions for granted. I want you to take your own thoughts and write them down. What is love? How does it work for you? How do you manage and practice love on a daily basis? What does it sound like? What does it look like? And then so at first, I want you to make your own list of definition. And then I want you to go beyond the definition to practices. What are your practices from your definitions? But more than that, how are you willing? In what ways are you willing to deepen your definitions and your practices? How are you willing? Are you ready to take love to the next level? Whoever you are, wherever you are, however old you are, however long you've been married. This year in 2024, my wife and I will celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. And there's a temptation in both of us to just coast because we've come this far. I mean, we joke with people and say, well, you know, divorce isn't on the table, but we might murder each other. And that's a joke. But the truth is, we could just coast. We could just get sloppy and lazy and not pay attention or be attentive to each other's needs and wants and desires. But that's not the way we want our life to be lived. We're alive to love. We're not on this earth for hate. We're not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing any pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. And for us, coming up on a half a century of life together, we're alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. So get some definitions that you create. Now, I hope that I inspire you. Of course I do. But I want you to make them your own definitions. Maybe you want to write your own love's creed. Then list your practices. How do you practice love? How do you practice what I preach and what you preach? And beyond your definitions and practices, how are you willing to deepen, to take it to the next level, to shake it up a bit, to carry it forward in another way or manner? Because see, when we shrink away from this all-important topic, we're also shrinking our capacity for managing this forward in a livable way. You know, as we used to say, what's the shoe leather here? You know, we also, there was a commercial out there about how the rubber hits the road, and that was a tire commercial. Where does the rubber hit the road for you? Where's the shoe leather in what you're attempting to be and to practice? And to recognize that every practice, every definition of love can only be deepened when we have some idea that there are no limits and there's no fine print on love. Now listen to that carefully. There's no limits or fine print on love. There's nobody in my scope of reference that is exempt from my being a loving person. Remember, I started this broadcast talking about between Jesus saying, love your enemies and love your neighbor as yourself. That includes everybody on the planet is in that measure. Between enemies and neighbors, there's nothing left, including yourself, because Jesus said, love your neighbors as you love yourself. So in that equation, there's no exemptions. There's no exceptions. There's no, well, there's fine print. When it comes to people like that, I am not going to love. Well, if that means that you're going to be just a curmudgeon about love and stingy about love and holding love to yourself because you don't want to give anything away, well, wow, that's a sad, shrunken life. Don't live a sad, shrunken life. Live an ever-expanding love and a life that is ever-expanding, because love is never static. Love cannot be static. Love may start out with puppy love, but after a while, it better be a full-grown dog love. It better go from puppy to full-grown hunting dog looking for the treasure that it was put on this earth to search. I believe the love of God is that way. I don't think God's love is static at all. I think God, not that God is learning more or discovering something, but I think God's love has this expansiveness that is just like the universe itself. The universe is ever expanding. The universe is going outward in the speed of light, ever expanding, ever growing, ever reaching out into the space that is out there. You know, it's fun for me anyway, because I'm a space geek, to look at the James Webb Telescope pictures that come back. Now, it's no longer just Hubble. Hubble was fascinating. But James Webb took fascinating and just exploded it. So we're looking out into the universe, into the expansiveness that's out there. And scientists and researchers are telling us there's no end to it out there. And it is ever expanding and growing. There's this big bang that just keeps banging out there into whatever else is out there at the very farthest reach of the universe. That what that says to me is all of that is God. God is all of that. And to that end, God is ever expanding and love is ever expanding. So I know, you know, in this 21st century, there are folks that are, it seemed like they're inventing new ways to be hated. Seems like folks are inventing new ways to be disgusting or bothersome to us. Whatever that looks like to you. Seems like the people have been laying awake at night with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything that'll irritate somebody. So to that end, if that's true, and it's not, but if that were true, then I need to be alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything and everything that is love. How do I love that person? How do I love those people that seem to be intent on irritating me, intent on making me wrinkle my upper lip, that I cause my self-pain, you know, even though I think I'm causing them pain by curling my lip and rolling my eyes. No, I'm not causing them any pain. I'm causing myself pain. And I'm being invited to an ever-expanding love. I'm being invited to something that looks a lot more like God's love. And that means I'm going to need to discover more of God's love. So in that regard, I'm inviting you to look for the love of God for you. Because we love because God loved us first. We love the 1 John, my favorite passage to refer to here. God is love. Love is God. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. And it says that we can love because God so loved us. And out of that love, if as I said before, that God's love is ever expanding, well, then that love is seeking to be ever expanding in and through us, in and through me. So let me go back to what I challenged you with at the very beginning of this conversation. Well, it's a monologue. I'm sorry. Maybe you're talking back at me, but I can't hear you. Sorry. I'm going to talk about your definitions. What are your definitions? Rewrite those. Journal your definitions of love. How do you define love? And then next, how do you practice love? Well, re-examine that. Look for new ways to practice love. Look for new avenues, new words, new sentences, a new way to express it. And then, in all of your definitions and practice, deepen. Take it deeper. Take it wider. Take it higher. Move it along. The book of Ephesians says, what is the breadth, the depth, the height, the length? What is the love of God? It's higher, wider, deeper, more expansive than we've dreamed. And so we're invited to that. We're invited to be a part of that. Now, I know you can't do that all in one day, but you can in one day sit down with yourself and have a have a heart-to-heart with you about what are my definitions, what are my practices, and how can I deepen them. You see, the love of God is an all-consuming flame of determination. The love of God is his transcending determination, facing all challenges to overcome all hatred, all fear. You see, love, I said this last week, I believe, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. We need to choose what we fear so that we can find love to put in that house of fear and chase fear out of there. Perfect love casts out fear. Once again, the beautiful epistle of John, 1 John. Perfect love is casting out fear. So when I'm afraid of something, and I have a few fears, then it's an alarm that goes off. It's a smoke alarm that's ringing in my soul saying, we need love in there. We need love in that place. Love that chases away my anxieties, my panics, my extraordinary obsession with what could go wrong, the hopelessness that tries to take up residence inside of me. I want to propose to you that hopelessness is the evidence, or any kind of lack of hope, it's the evidence of your cry for love. You're crying out, love me here, God. And you're crying out, not only to be loved, but some way or another, whether you know it or not, you're crying out to love. You're crying out to love out from where you've been, out from the small limits you've created, the small habits you've done. One of the things that I know about running, for instance, is that if I don't change my pace now and then, just a little bit, well, then my muscles kind of shrink to the little places in the microscopic places of my muscles and my blood vessels. They shrink a bit just to accommodate what I've been doing. Well, the need in my running is to change the pace a bit. Raise it up a little now and then, or run longer and make sure that my muscles are put on alert here. Hey, we're not staying in a static place. The same is true of love. The same is true of any human activity, but especially love. If all we've ever done is all we've ever done and we're not going to ever do anymore, well, then love shrinks. It doesn't just get static. It shrinks. And that is the invitation to expand it. Once again, the three things I started with is write some definitions of what you see love is. In those definitions, how do you practice? So definitions, practice, and how can you deepen those definitions and practices? So bring yourself upward and outward to something more than you've been accustomed to. Stretch those muscles. Those love muscles need a little expansiveness. All right? Well, I got to bring this to a close for today. And what we do to close the No BS Bishop Alive to Love is we do a couple of practices that are valuable to the reach for love. And here's one practice that I want to make sure that you understand. And that is the practice of breathing. Our breathing is exactly what I just described. If all we ever do is all we've ever done, well, things don't just stay static, they shrink. So in order to keep your breathing deep and wide and healthy, you got to practice deeper breathing than what is normally comfortable for us. So on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. I want you to hold it up against your diaphragm to the basement of your lungs. Hold it much as you can, and then slowly exhale. Don't just gasp it out. Just let it go out slowly, all right? On the count of three, deep breath. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it there. Now, exhale. That's one exercise, physical exercise, that no human being should be exempt from. We, as much as we may be ill or in a hospital, I know in hospitals they have little breathing tubes, breathing, I forget what they call them. They're therapeutic to keep your breaths from being shrunken or static. They want you to breathe, inhale and exhale hard as you can to keep those lungs moving. It's so valuable. But beyond that, just on a day-by-day basis, in order to give yourself just a miniature sabbatical, breathing deep is a way to do that. It just keeps your mind and your blood pressure at a steady, happy pace. Well, the second thing that we close with here on the No BS Bishop is to be challenged. Look somebody in the eye. Give them your full eye contact. Don't dodge around or roll your eyes away, but look somebody right in the eye and say the three most holy, charmed, beautiful, magical words in the human language. You know what they are, right? I love you. It really is magic. It's a stunner. It's a little disconcerting when people first try to do it or receive it. I know, it's awkward, but do it anyway. Shake it up. That's part of the definitions and practices and deepening of our love. Let's be about growing in love. I want you to imagine you can see my eyes looking at you right now, and here's what I want you to know. I love you. Now, find somebody's eyes, slow it down, and say those words. Give it your full intention, and shake up the normal practices so that your love is an ever-growing factor of your life. Well, thanks for being here again today. I'm Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop, alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve and shrink down into the devalued ways of living life. They're lesser values that just do not rise to the occasion of making life high quality. Live a high quality life, shall we? Let's be alive to love. Now go out there. And in that context, I want you to do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly? Whew, ugly is getting done to death. Let's be people of love with beauty in our footsteps. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.